This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. You can now watch the TV version of our show on Free Speech TV, weekdays at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern. FSTV is on Dish Network, DirecTV, and Roku. Although the U.S. federal government recently announced it would phase out privately run federal prisons, that decision apparently did not apply to immigrant detention facilities that the Department of Homeland Security oversees. Under President Obama, the federal government imprisons thousands of undocumented men, women, and even children, labeling them detainees. Many of these detention facilities are run by private corporations. One such facility is located in Southern California, San Bernardino County, in a small town called Adelanto. The Adelanto Detention Center has been the focus of activism by immigrants' rights groups under the banner of hashtag ShutDownAdelanto. On Wednesday of this week, the National Day Labor Organizing Network led an event in Adelanto called Chant Down the Walls, featuring Grammy Award-winning band La Santa Cecilia. One of the people who was present there was my guest, Salvador Sarmiento. He's an organizer with the National Day Labor Organizing Network. Welcome to the program, Salvador.
Thank you, Sonali. Glad to be on.
Thanks for joining us. Well, the event on Wednesday was just, I understand, one of many events that have been taking place at Adelanto over this past month. In particular, there was a week of events in the middle of the month as well. First, tell us about Adelanto itself. It's not one that has received, I think, as much national attention as some of the other immigrant detention facilities, say, in Texas, et cetera, right?
Sure. It's similar to some of the detention centers in Texas, however, in the fact that it's incredibly isolated. And that's one of the things with both the private immigration detention centers and the immigration detention centers generally, is that they really place them in the middle of, for example, in the middle of the California desert, in the middle of the Texas desert, in very hard to reach places, because they really don't want people to know about these immigrant prisons.
So talk about, or tell us a little bit about how immigrants, what the conditions are that they face. Now, I understand that this is not a family detention center like some centers are, but it does house both male and female immigrants, right?
That's right. And I think the best way to get an idea of the folks that are in detention centers is to give an example or two of the folks that have been detained. One includes, for example, a black refugee who was escaping violence, having witnessed the murder of his partner, Calvin Carter, who is now detained at the Adelanto Detention Center. Another person who was also profiled, or which we're trying to lift up at the Chant Down the Walls serenade yesterday evening, was Xochitl Hernandez, a grandmother who was picked up by an LAPD and ICE raid in Los Angeles, who's lived in the United States for most of her life and has now been detained at Adelanto for 6 months.
Right. Tell us a little bit about Xochitl. You mentioned that she is a grandmother, and you have a pretty big campaign to free Abuela Xochitl, as you put it. How do you mean that she was profiled? How are ICE and law enforcement departments like the LAPD essentially profiling Latinos who might be undocumented immigrants and linking them to gang affiliation?
Sure. Xochitl's case is really an example that highlights the problems when we conflate the immigration and criminal justice system. It makes it so easy for ICE to take advantage of racial profiling carried out by police if there's speculation, as there was in this case, by one officer because of one incident that where there's no due process, where there's no evidence, where there's no actual any evidence. Only speculation and allegations from one officer because of where Xochitl lives, because of her neighborhood, because of the people that live in her neighborhood. All of a sudden, ICE will take that and they will run with it, and they will use it as an excuse to target Xochitl, to keep her detained for 6 months, and to try to separate her from her entire family. And this is just one example, but it's a very good example of how easy it is for federal immigration enforcement to take advantage of racial profiling that we know is systemic against black and brown, and also and generally against minority communities.
Right. The fact that she was basically living in a poor neighborhood is being held against her. And Xochitl Hernandez has, I understand, a number of family members who are either green card holders or citizens. She came to the United States when she was 10. Presumably now she might be in her 50s or 60s. So she's lived decades in this country, and they're trying to deport her to, is it Mexico that she is originally from?
That's right. She's from Mexico.
So what is the, you know, she's been held there for 6 months. I understand that part of the reason why she's also being held in captivity until she, you know, her proceedings go through is because there's a very, very big bond that she would have to pay in order to be free. So is this something that particularly also targets poor immigrants?
That's right. She's been assigned a $60,000 bond, which is completely absurd, right? It's outrageous and offensive. There's no way that anybody, you know, most individuals would not be able to cover a $60,000 bond, much less, you know, a working immigrant family or any working family for that matter. We really think it's discriminatory, and it really goes to show how much the federal government could do to immigrants, to working folks, you know, and if not for a lot of the work of the community organizations supporting Xochitl's case, there's so many cases like this that we would never have heard of. And one of the things that we really want to make sure to say about the event yesterday evening is that, you know, first and foremost, we were there to send a message to those people that are detained, that have been incarcerated. In particular, you know, we were lifting up Xochitl's case and Calvin Carter's case. But really, there's so many people that need to hear and know that they are not alone, that we are no different than the people that are being detained unjustly, and that there's a lot of things that our elected leaders can do immediately to end this injustice. That includes, you know, state bills that are on the Governor Jerry Brown's desk, including the Dignity Not Detention bill, including the California Truth Act, that would, you know, that would go great, do a great deal to provide some relief immediately. You know, there's no reason President Obama needs to be detaining, incarcerating, you know, refugee asylum seekers. And those are things that our elected leaders can do immediately. There's no reason why they need to wait.
Right. And anytime President Obama or people from his administration are asked why his administration is detaining so many more immigrants than his predecessor did, the answer is that it's only the dangerous felons, the, you know, violent criminal gang members, et cetera, drug convictions, people with drug convictions that they're targeting. But of course, studies, investigations, research, media coverage has found that is not the case, that the majority of the people being held have never really committed any serious crimes. Salvador, let's focus for a minute on the bill that you mentioned in California, because that would impact Adelanto. There's a bill that would essentially require the state to also basically end the private corporations running these prisons, right? And their running of these prisons.
That's right. The bill is you could look it up. Looking, if you type hashtag dignity, not detention. Again, that's hashtag dignity, not detention, for more information about the bill. And it would do what you just mentioned, Sonali, would really ensure that California is not in the business of contracting with private detentions for immigrants. And, you know, it really is part of a national movement, part of the, you know, the movement on criminal justice reform and racial justice to step away from, you know, detaining people, from caging people as a business. We understand that that's offensive to us. And, you know, and that has to do with the announcement that the Justice Department made last week that they would be phasing out the private detention contracts. So there is a lot that states, you know, and state leaders can do to move that process forward, the same as, you know, the DHS, the Federal Department of Homeland Security, can also take steps to end their own contracts that they have with private detention companies such as GEO and such as CCA.
Right, and the federal government doesn't seem to want to apply the same standards to its prisons, federal prisons, as it does to DHS's immigrant detention facilities, even though essentially they're run in the same way by the same companies. The issue of Adelanto in particular, what sort of abuses have you heard about? I understand that at least three people have died within the facility.
That's right, and that's in the recent history. Three individuals that had been detained have passed away. There's also, folks that have very serious disabilities have been held in Adelanto. It's very clear that there's not adequate access to basic health, health care, and that's in addition to the many things we see in detention centers generally, where folks are, suffering from prolonged unjust detention.
And what sort of conditions do the women in particular face? We know that immigrant detention facilities around the country have often been linked to abuses of women. There have been some cases of sexual abuse and rape of women detainees. Do you know if women being held in Adelanto, women like Xochitl Hernandez, are facing particular abuse?
I'm not sure off the top of my head if there's been recent cases of sexual abuse in Adelanto, but it's definitely an issue that's, it's clear that it's a systemic issue within ICE facilities, where, for example, with the Border Patrol and in Texas, there's definitely enough evidence to know that it's, it's a systemic issue.
How did the event go on Wednesday with La Santa Cecilia? This is a Grammy Award-winning band, very activist band, and very, strong on the issue of immigrant rights, showing up, performing at this protest, chant down the walls. How did it go?
It was a powerful, powerful serenade for so many immigrants that are unjustly encaged, detained, kept far from their families and from their loved ones at Adelanto. It was very moving when Xochitl's mom spoke just before La Santa Cecilia played. She sent a message directly to her daughter, Xochitl, and directly to President Obama. President Obama, please, please release my daughter. And ultimately, that's why these chant down the wall concerts that folks have been doing outside of immigration detention centers are so important, because it really humanizes something that immigration enforcement, that DHS would really like to hide from the public, that these are loved ones, these are community members that have no reason to be encaged, that there's no reason for them to be separated from their families. And of course, the powerful voices from groups like Los Jornaleros del Norte and La Santa Cecilia, amazing musicians that bring their talents, right to the footstep, the front door of these otherwise often, unknown massive detention centers.
Do you have any sense that those people being detained heard the concert, heard the music, heard this attempt by people on the outside to make sure that they're not forgotten?
Usually when we do these chant on the walls concerts, the folks on the inside can hear us. Even if they're indoors, sometimes they're outdoors and they can also hear us. We haven't been able to connect because Adelanto has huge fences, and it's a huge facility. So we haven't been able to connect with folks, but I'm sure the folks on the inside heard us.
Well, Salvador, what needs to happen now? I mean, it's one thing to end the companies like Jio actually running these facilities, which bring with it its own set of problems. People have pointed out that private corporations are really quite unaccountable to the public and to the local governments for how they run these prisons. But ultimately, you don't just want those prisons to be turned over to Department of Homeland Security directly. You want them to be shut down, right?
That's right. And there are things that can happen immediately. For example, Xochitl can be released immediately. Calvin Carter should be and must be released immediately. Governor Jerry Brown, he needs to sign the Dignity Not Detention Bill and the Truth Act. They can do this right now. And that's what we're calling for. DHS can announce, they don't need to do a review with, the Mickey Mouse Homeland Security Advisory Committee. They don't need to, there's nothing to review. We know what the issues are. They can end those and phase out those private contracts immediately. And so those are things that can happen immediately. There's no reason to wait. And also there really needs to be a new approach, with the White House. There needs to be an acknowledgement that, they're, as you said, they're felons, not families banner is an offensive, banner around their, that they're holding up around their new immigration dragnet policies, the new PEPCOM program, and it goes completely counter to the entire racial justice, criminal justice movement about, giving folks a second chance and about, reintegration and, and rehabilitation. It's completely backwards, and that's got to be also an acknowledgement by the folks in power, by elected officials, by the Democratic Party, by the White House, that's also on their to-do list.
Right. In fact, all of this is happening under a supposedly liberal administration of the Democratic Party, and highly unlikely Hillary Clinton presidency will do anything terribly different. Finally, Salvador, sure. I'd like to ask you about Donald Trump's visit to Mexico this week, where he, you know, I know that there's much to talk about there, but my specific question to you is on what you made of the sort of ongoing weirdness around him saying he's going to require Mexico to pay for a wall that he's building, that he would build on the border between the U.S. and Mexico. And by the way, of course, there is already a wall on much of the border. Any thoughts on that?
I would just make two points about Trump. I'd say that, you know, he's clearly, a showman, and he's going to be able to be a little bit more nuanced, you know, making a speech in Arizona, you know, white supremacist speech in Arizona while, you know, trying to look presidential, standing, you know, next to, you know, a very unpopular Mexican president, but a president nonetheless. And so I think it's really going to be a challenge when if the Democrats aren't willing to be a little bit more sophisticated on their immigration policy and be able to, you know, acknowledge issues like, you know, the huge problems with lifting up a banner of felons, not families. It really challenges the Democrats to do a little better first and foremost. And secondly, I think in the face of the hate, the resurgence of white supremacy, and what has been really a rough couple of weeks, sometimes the weapons that we have that are the most powerful and the most moving and the strongest is our music. It is our arts. It is our words. And that's why we think that, standing up with the families and chanting down the walls, literally outside of the detention centers, is so important. Mm.
Salvador, give out a website for the National Day Labor Organizing Network.
Sure. The most recent cool stuff you can find on our Facebook page, facebook.com/NDLON or NDLON.org.
We'll post those links to our website later today, as well as information about the Dignity Not Detention bill sponsored by California Senator Ricardo Lara. Thank you so much, Salvador, as always.
Thank you, Sonali.
Salvador Sarmiento is an organizer with the National Day Labor Organizing Network. This is Rising Up with Sonali. I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com.